Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on episode 21, season 3 of The Standoff with Brandon Ritchie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Ritchie. Well, another Warriors loss, but I thought we saw some improvements in the side, but we also had some great matches during the weekend, including a fantastic Origin decider and another shocking Storm loss. What were your thoughts on the weekend overall?
Yeah, good weekend of footy, Brad. Going to the Origin, starting off there, I don't even care about the result. I think it was one of the better games in a long, long time, and just the brutality of it, it was fantastic. And then it flowed into a nice round of NRL footy as well. So, yep, I've enjoyed it, buddy.
Definitely. While we're here live on Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m., you can also catch our show at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of State of Origin and Round 18. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as questions we've got for each other, before going into a preview of Round 19, making our tips. And hopefully, time pending, having the end cap of Super League. So we may as well just jump straight into it. But remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we'll do our best to answer them. So first news story I got, Richie. We talked about it a little bit last week, which seems to be an ongoing trend. We're getting rumors, and then we get them announced the next week. But Benji Marshall has signed on as coach for the Tigers. He signed a 5-year deal in which he'll assist Tim Sheens for the first 2 years as he learns the trade. Robbie Farah is also joining the fold as an assistant coach. What's your overall thoughts on this 5-year plan?
Yeah, I'm cool with that if I'm a Tigers fan. Benji and Farah, two club legends on board. Obviously not a lot of NRL coaching experience, well, none. Actually, no. But yeah, I think two guys that sort of have the passion for the jersey. So being mentored by Tim Sheens for a couple of years, and I think what you're going to get out of those guys is people who are going to try and get the playing roster to, you know, play with passion for the Tigers and bleed for the jersey like they did, which is just something that looks like the Tigers have lacked over the past few years.
Yeah, definitely. And I've heard rumours that Scott Prince could also come into the fold as well. Nothing official on that, no doubt, as the pattern's been. We'll have confirmation of that by next week. But, I think it's a bit...
Guys, like, this thing, this idea of 2 years assistant then become head, don't these things generally kind of fall on their face in that transition period? Either the head coach does really well and therefore you think, well, why are you replacing him? Or he does really badly and you want to get rid of him, but you can't because you've got this other guy who's not ready yet. And it just seems like strange to commit yourself to something in 2 years' time. It's a long way away with we've seen not work a lot of times before.
I think the key thing is...
Welcome Tim to the Tigers, Paul.
Yeah, Tim Sheens is no spring chicken anymore. So he's got a lot of great first grade experience and won titles. So he can pass on his knowledge. You're right. It is a long period of time. Who knows what happens in 2 years? Anything can happen. But like
they
Brad
could all
said,
be sacked next year.
Exactly. Everything that happens in Tiger Town falls on its face anyway. So we'll see.
Yeah, and Sheens has got another role with the Tigers that he's already in. So I assume it's still going to be a safety blanket, I think. So like in the 2 years when Benji takes over, he'll still have Tim Sheens in the fold to help if he needed. But it's a bit similar to when we talked about the Warriors last week in the signing of Webster. They were kind of at a point, the Tigers, where they didn't really have an option. The coaches they approached didn't want to coach them. So there wasn't really a lot of other options, to be brutally honest. So will it work? Not sure. But it will make interesting couple of years for us on the show. With the ups and downs of how Benji's going to cope with it. But yeah, I wish him nothing but the best. I put him kind of in that category like we've got right now with the Warriors and Stacey Jones. You got like a legend of the club. So if anything, the players should have that respect for Benji, which that's like a foot in the door to hopefully some success. But time will tell. It might even help potentially persuade Papali'i to not back out on his deal with Benji there. But yeah, we'll see. But next bit of news is Jerome Luai. He apparently played in Origin in the week. I didn't really see him though. But he has shrugged off social media claims of him being a grub. And after it appeared that he was taunting Selwyn Cobbo when he was knocked out in the Origin game, he said he has nothing to apologize for, as he didn't realize Cobbo was unconscious, which is an interesting way to say you don't need to say sorry. But you are the New South Wales man on the show, so I will hand the floor to you. What do you think about the whole Luai situation?
Well, it's not a good look, him standing over somebody that's knocked out, for starters. We've seen it happen before the other way around with Queensland. Queensland is doing it to James Tedesco a couple of years. And I think the Queensland player actually gave him a head push on the ground while he was knocked out. So it's not a one-way street. Whether or not Jerome Luai is a grub, I've got my own opinions about that. I personally think he is. I've seen him do things in the past in the NRL arena, stomping on Cody Nicarima's head. And that's just one thing. There's been numerous other things. But yeah. So I guess, you know, if you ask me, judging of what he's done in the Panthers jersey, I would call him a grub, but that's just me.
Yeah. I would say, going back to the Queenslander doing it to James Tedesco, I think the difference here is Selwyn Cobbo's a young guy and most people seem to like him, when no one likes James Tedesco. So I think that was the difference there, you know.
Sure.
It depends who you do it on. But, yeah, it's weird because I generally gravitate towards the grubs, but I just don't like Jerome Luai. I don't know why. He rubs me the wrong way. But, yeah, I understand what he said. He kind of said it was like in the heat of the moment in the battle. It wasn't too bad. Like you said, the Queensland thing, it was nowhere near as severe as that, where he actually got down, picked them up and dropped them again type thing. He kind of just stood over him. But yeah, I have my distaste towards him and his level of performance on the field in that regard, mainly on the NRL level anyway. So yeah, time will tell. Eventually someone... Well, I think we've talked about it before. I think the biggest problem with players like him is the fact that you're not allowed to hit anybody anymore. Lets these guys like him get a bit more, I don't want to say cocky, but a bit more brave with being rambunctious, if you will. Like if he knew, like Jacko has just said, he's immature and just needs to mature. I think that's it. He's a bit immature. If he was in a situation where he knows if he was a bit lippy and being a bit of a grub like he is now, that a front row is going to go and give him a 1-2 combination.
Yeah,
you probably wouldn't see it.
Imagine if he played in the 90s and someone like Gordon Tallis or Monty Beetham got their hands on him.
Yeah. So eventually there will come a breaking point where someone just goes, that's enough, and just goes, I'll take the 10 in the bin. We're playing the Panthers. We're not going to win anyway. So that type of approach. Maybe in a couple of weeks when the Warriors will just send one of our hitmen out there. Someone has to do it. But going on to a bit more serious note, as I say, giggling, Mitchell Moses had to have police escorts after receiving death threats. New South Wales police have identified that two teenagers were the people responsible. What's your take on this? I was quite critical of Mitchell Moses the last couple of weeks on this show about his performances and being a flat track bully. But I think it takes a special kind of human to take being upset at a player on a field into death threats. It's it's a no go for me, in my opinion. I think as angry as you can be at a player, it should never go to that level. What is on the field stays on the field for me.
Special kind of person is one way to describe them. Yes, it's disgusting, mate. What else can you say? It's that's the lowest of the low. I hope they're dealt with accordingly.
Yeah, definitely. There's been no word on what punishments will happen. I'm sure it'll be something severe. But yeah, fully deserved in my opinion. Next bit's not really, it's kind of a non-starter, but there were rumors swirling that Anthony Griffin's time at the Dragons could be at an end. But if he was fired, he would end up getting a $500,000 payout. Dragons have come out and squashed rumors and given Griffin the good old coach curse by saying that he has their backing. So what are your thoughts? Does that mean Griffin's out of the job at the end of the week? Or
I think there's other coaches that should be in more danger than him. I'll turn it around to you, Brad. You picked them for Wooden Spoon. In your eyes, he must have this team overperforming.
Yeah, I think he's doing a fantastic job. They should be dead last right now, so I don't know what's going on. I don't think there's enough talent in the coaching pool to be going and throwing a guy like him out to pasture. He is still a very talented coach. He's just got a crack team.
Nicely put, yeah.
Next bit, we'll keep going with the coach stuff. The Titans have also put the curse out and they've confirmed that Justin Holbrook will not be showing the door at the Titans and he will be their coach in 2023. Jacko says some of the Dragons want Dean Young badly.
Yeah, I've heard
that. Could be the case, so we might see that sooner rather than later since they've come out and said he's got the backing, because we know as soon as an organization like the Titans have just done and the Dragons, once they say that they've got full support of the coach is usually on the way out.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think Holbrook's a guy that should be kicked out as well? Or
yeah, I mean, he's got to be in as much danger as any of the other ones in the top and the bottom five. Sorry. Look where they've come from last year, where they snuck into the finals and now they're running dead last. So, and they've made some pretty funny calls along the way between last year and this year, letting the halfback go, and look how they've struggled in the halves this year. They haven't had it all go their way, with Jaden Campbell being injured for a lot of the year, and he seems to be one of their main strike weapons. But yeah, it's not looking good.
No, and Jacko's also mentioned the Titans have fired all of Holbrook's coaches, assistant coaches, which is weird. And I know Jim Dymock, he got sacked, and that was because he was told they weren't going to extend his contract. So he basically demanded to be let go. But yeah, it's interesting. So I don't know if they've basically said, we're going to keep you, but you need to start from the ground up with your coaching staff again. Be interesting times at the Titans. Brett Kamali, we'll keep the coach for one more. Brett Kamali came out stating that it was disrespectful to the Panthers to rest all of their Origin players against the Tigers last weekend, What's your thoughts on that? Do you think it was disrespectful or just a wise move from a team preparing for finals?
It's a wise move. They're running top of the ladder comfortably with a couple of win cushion. Why wouldn't you rest some Origin players and give them a rest when you're winning? They won anyway.
Yeah, I think it would have had more merit if the Tigers had won.
Yeah. If anything, the Tigers are being disrespectful for fielding a reserve grade quality side every week.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. And next bit, Caden has put it in the comments, but it was the next bit of my news. Victor Radley has declared himself he's declared himself for England, ending his possible debut for the New South Wales side in future Origins. He said that he wanted to represent England for his father. Caden said that it's excellent for international rugby league and admires his courage to make the call. 100%. Mel Meninga has come out quite a lot this week about it because he was kind of doing the whole, I was going to pick him in the World Cup side for Australia. I feel like that's kind of like, you know, your girlfriend dumps you and you're like, oh, I was just about to propose, you know, that type of thing. I don't know if he would have made it. I wouldn't be surprised. He's a hell of a talent, but I think it's a great win for England to get a player of his quality. And it's a big call. I'm hoping that we see a switch where there's more players that are going to say no to Origin to play for their countries, more as a biased Kiwi. Is that showing that, you know, I know your questions around it, but do people just don't care about playing for New South Wales or what's the deal?
If you believe some of the journalists out there, yeah, you could draw that conclusion, but I don't feel it's that. I maybe it's amplified more because it's a World Cup year and people are sort of drawing a line in the sand early. Maybe Victor felt like he was potentially not going to make Australia, or maybe he just feels that passionately about making his dad proud. But either way, like you say, it's a great win for England and for the World Cup. You know, the more some of this talent spreads around, the more competitive it could possibly be. So that'd be great.
Yeah, and Jacko said that Origin rules will change letting Tier 1 nations play Origin under rules. Yeah, I think they're going to change. Mel Meninga was kind of saying that. He's saying that he thinks it's great that Victor Radley is going to play for England, but that he should be able to play for Origin as well, which if you let a guy playing for England play Origin, it opens the floodgates. You will have to open it up to New Zealand as well. So we'll see what happens. But kind of going with that whole Origin talk, the RLPA and the NRL are reportedly in talks to ban players from being able to back up for their club after playing State of Origin. What do you think about this, Richie? Wouldn't this strengthen the case of moving Origin away from the current model they got, as you'll effectively have teams losing all their stars the week before an Origin game and now the week after? That's potentially six rounds of footy without your best players.
Yeah, this is a real funny situation. I don't think you'll find the perfect science for it. You know, traditionally Origin's been played on Wednesdays and it's been up to the clubs. Some clubs rest their players afterwards, some have them back up, and I guess it's just up to the players if they feel they're up to it and if they've come out of the Origin game physically, you know, sort of unscathed and able to go. But yeah, I don't think they're going to want to play anymore in the weekend. I'm not too sure what else you could do. Like I say, it'll be hard to find a sweet spot.
I think it's got to be up to the players. You know, some players, as we saw in the weekend just gone, some players did back up, some didn't.
Yeah.
So it all depends on. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know really. It doesn't affect us as Warriors fans 9 times out of 10.
No.
So it doesn't really matter. And then the last bit of news, it was kind of just brought up. It seems we can't really determine if it was tongue-in-cheek or not, but Reece Walsh was dropped from the starting lineup for the Warriors this week, and Andrew Voss, in an interview we did, came out and suggested that we might see Walsh leave the Warriors early and either go to the Broncos, and then someone else dropped in and said Melbourne Storm. I was speaking with Paul before, yeah, going completely on the this is them being 100% honest, and said that what type of situation does that put up where a player gets moved from the starting lineup to the bench, so still playing, but on the bench, and then they demand that they want to go elsewhere. Reese hasn't done that in this situation. Obviously, I'm just playing devil's advocate, but, you know, moving to the bench isn't a death note. So, yeah, I think it was tongue-in-cheek, like you said earlier, but what's your thoughts?
I actually think the bench is a very important role in today's game. You know, a lot of sides have great impact players come on at number 14, make a massive difference. I was just saying to you before we went on, I'm really starting to enjoy this slump that Melbourne are in. Why help them? Why help them? They've had enough success.
Yeah, and Jacko said that Storm tried for Walsh this season, but the Warriors said no. I also said it before the show, but the Warriors still want Walsh's pretty face there for those home games. There's people that want to see, you know, he is leaving and all that, but there are still people that want to watch him in a Warriors jersey live that haven't been able to. So they'll still want him there to get bums on seats if you want. Yeah, as boys just put up the ladies' man. That's his biggest problem. He was too much of a ladies' man.
Yeah.
And Jacko said, to be real, CHT played better than Walsh. Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we review the game. I have my opinions on the same lines, Jacko. So we'll talk about it. But next up, injury ward. We actually got a full ward this week, unfortunately. Ryan Papenhuyzen is the headliner. He is out for the season after suffering a suspected fractured kneecap. So they basically said that, his kneecap's done and that's his season. Do you think we're going to have to start having Papenhuyzen wrapped in cotton wool? He seems to be getting injured all the time now. Yeah. It's a real big concern.
I know. But what I will say is if there's any team that knows how to deal with a broken cap, it's the Melbourne Storm.
Well done. You've been holding on to that all night.
I have. I've been waiting for the moment, yeah.
Continuing with season-ending injuries, Sharks' Sione Katoa is also out. He had to go under the knife to fix a pec injury. So that's his year done. And Alex Twile from the Tigers has officially been ruled out for the rest of the season to recover from his recent concussion that he got a few weeks back. So that's three big losses for those clubs. You know, Ryan, we just talked about, but Katoa's been doing really well for the Sharks, and Alex Twile is kind of, look, I feel like he's one of the linchpins of the Tigers forward pack, as bad as they are. But I feel like he really can get that team together to try, as defeatist as that sounds. But hopefully he comes back next season. All the better for it. And Roosters, Satili Tupanua and Billy Smith both have appeared to tear their ACLs. And Jake Dvojevic is out this week due to COVID. Any thoughts on those before I bring up Mark's comment?
Yeah, Satili Tupanua is a big one for the Roosters. He's been a real good performer for them the past couple of years. They've got, you know, Matt Lodge turning up to help with their forward pack now, but still as an edge forward, that's a tough one. Billy Smith too. I think he's still only in his early 20s, and this is a second or third knee reconstruction. So, you know, thoughts to him that's pretty unlucky and never an easy one to take.
Yeah, and Mark Roberts said Origin should be played at the end of the season in between the last round and the final starting. It's not a bad idea. The NRL will never do it because they'll go on about, you know, potential injuries to their finals players.
Yeah.
But yeah, there needs to be a better way than what's currently working. I feel like the Wednesday, if they're going to enforce the people playing not playing the week before and the week of the game. I feel like it just hurts the NRL product too much, which, you know, that's kind of what we're here for, isn't it? Mm. And yeah, Jacko said NRL won't move the Origin as it suits the TV deal. It's, yeah, it's about the money. So it's going to be how it is. But yeah, just pick a team that doesn't have Origin players. I think the Cowboys fans will be spewing. They're used to not having many, and now half their team's gone for Origin. So they'll be upset. But that was the casualty ward. Naughty Boy Corner has got a couple of people as well. Only one suspension this week. Jordan Rapana has got a two-week ban for a careless high tackle. He also got a $3,000 fine for a shoulder charge. The rest of the fines, we had Mitch Kenny from the Panthers got $750 for a grade one dangerous contact. Nelson Asofa Solomona got $1,800 for a grade one high tackle. Raymond Faitala Marina got $1,000 for a grade one dangerous contact. And then Jason Tomololo got $1,500 for a grade one shoulder charge. And yeah, Simon said Wednesday nights don't have many sporting rival codes broadcasts, except for us, obviously. Yeah.
We're part of the build up.
Yeah, we help promote Origin. They haven't been paying us yet. So unless they're paying Paul and keeping it, he's keeping it quiet, but we'll discuss that at a later date, I guess. But yeah, so that was Naughty Boy Corner. We may as well, we've got a few games to go. So we've got an extra game to review this week. So we may as well jump straight into it so we're not chewing up too much time. So I'll hand the floor to you to discuss Origin and round 18.
Thank you, sir. Wednesday night, Maroons getting the decider 22-12 over the New South Wales Blues. 4-2 for Queensland. Val Holmes, Kurt Capewell, Kalen Ponga and Ben Hunt with a runaway try. Cam Smith cheering him all the way. 2 tries for New South Wales. Jerome Luai and Jacob Saifidi. Brad, you're probably going to want to talk about this because your team got the chocolates, but not the best result for me, but my oh my, what a game. Super physical, head knocks galore, fights, everything you want from Origin.
Right, fight. There was one fight. It was a great game. I've kind of been down on Origin the last couple of years. Kind of not really that interested, but interested enough to watch. Normally, I think I've explained my routine on here before. Due to me being an early starter, I generally would watch the first half, go to bed, and then watch the rest of the game the next day. This one, I didn't. It got to halftime. I was like, no, there's a game on our hands here. I'll just be a zombie at work. It'll be fine. And thoroughly enjoyed staying up for it. It was fantastic. As you said, three players sent off for an HIA in the first 4 minutes of the game, and none of them from a legal play, which is a bonus, I guess. It was a real tight contest, I think, for the first hour. Both teams' defense was really solid. Then probably my favorite player of the game, Stephen Crichton, did a no-hope offload on his own goal line, and momentum swung. You know, the Maroons scored on the next set from that. And that was when the game was over in my mind. Ben Hunt then scored that great try, as you said, charging down a Nathan Cleary kick. But yeah, I thought Queensland looked great. Their forwards did a hell of an effort, considering some of them had to play a lot longer minutes than normal due to players going out. DCE put on a kicking clinic. Mm. And Tom Dearden was fantastic on debut. He did a lot better than I thought he would. And then yeah, New South Wales, they were in the fight until that blooper from Crichton. And then once they got into catch-up mode at that point where they really needed to score points, they just appeared to struggle putting together good offensive sets. Cleary's come under a lot of pressure this week, but I thought he played okay. He just didn't have support from Luai and co.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting compliments now and it's making me feel weird. yeah, I think the biggest thing, though, that was Crichton's last game in Origin. We can't beat around the bush. He dug his own grave, but you have Latrell Mitchell and Tommy Turbo that will come straight in and take that spot anyway. So regardless of that howler of the century, he wasn't going to come. He was going to come back. And, yeah, I thought it was funny as a Queensland fan. And Jacko said second half had Slater's fingerprints all over it with changing plays, directions, early kicks. He outcoached Fittler, yeah, which is great when you've got Fittler who's got more experience and this was Slater's third game coaching. And I think someone said the try they scored where Kirk Capewell's try where Harry Grant – he hit circle on the PlayStation controller and did the spin.
Did the 360,
yeah. Yeah, and with the kick through, apparently that was a play option discussion that Billy Slater had had during the week. So that kind of thing. Yeah, it was just great. But you know that New South Wales are going to be stronger back next year when they've got Latrell and Tommy Turbo and the likes there. So it's I don't think it's the start of another Maroons dynasty by any means, but they definitely showed that they've got what it takes. So it will at least make me more excited about Origin next year. But what about you? I know you probably cried in your sleep after that game.
No, I couldn't cry at all after that game, mate. That was a bruising game and probably one of the best State of Origin games in a long while. I thought that try on halftime to Queensland, Cape Coast try, was a massive turning point because I feel like later on in the first half, New South Wales was starting to take control of the game a wee bit and we were in the lead. But I feel like that took a bit of steam out of New South Wales and then come out in the second half and the Queensland spine really, really choked New South Wales. Like you said, the kicking game from DC, even Ben Hunt with a 40-20. But
40-20, yeah.
They forced New South Wales into errors and yeah, that was it pretty much. Queensland were just more clinical and New South Wales, I feel like, really buckled under the pressure. Queensland have maybe even set a blueprint on how to beat the Panthers heading towards the finals in the NRL. You know, if you put a lot of pressure on these Panthers players, they're not invincible, you know. You see how sort of Luai and Crichton were making mistakes. I think maybe you've written Crichton off a wee bit early there, Brad, saying he'll never play Origin again. He's only a young fella.
Never again. He may as well go and declare for Samoa now and just go.
He's performed in a grand final, and you've seen Billy Slater, the man himself, make similar mistakes. Look back at the 2008 World Cup and grand final against the Kiwis.
Mate, you're just being biased. Fittler will never pick him again. And we've got a comment here saying Fittler had a brain explosion. How can you leave Whiten out and have Talakai on the bench?
Yeah, 100%.
I agree with that. Talakai
needed Whiten in that game.
Yeah, and Talakai, he made a lot of mistakes when he came on. He was missing defensive reads and stuff. He really did himself no favours in that game. Not a Crichton level, but yeah. And Paul's already given us crap saying we're going to be a two-hour show. So that was a great Origin. Let's go on to the actual
round. What a game. Let's move on. Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Sorry. We got the tip-off comp for State of Origin.
Go, Simon.
There's a nice little – I gave Simon a little medal there. He was 100% through the whole comp. He got every game right.
Well done.
So he ended on 3 out of 3. I ended up on 2 out of 3. I only got that one game wrong. And then Richie, you only got 1 out of 3. We're going to see
what happens. That's what happens when you tip New South Wales.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Brad and Richie both just tip their own site. And hence,
yeah. Whoever wins Origin is going to be whoever it was. Yeah. But yeah, congrats, Simon. That was some great picking from you there.
Brad will send you a reward out in the mail.
I'm not giving rewards for Origin. It's just the pride. You got the medal there. Take all a right. screenshot and print it off. But yeah, Cowboys versus Sharks. Off you go,
Friday.
Richie.
Friday, Cowboys versus Sharks. Sharks getting this one 26-12 over the Cowboys. 4 tries to 2 for the Sharks. Jesse Ramien with a double. Teg Wilton and Sione Katoa grabbing the tries. For the Cowboys, Kyle Felt and the Hammer, Tabuai Fodo, grabbing the 2 tries. I actually tipped the Cowboys, Brad. They mind you, they did have a few players who rested through Origin duty, but I think the Cowboys were very much in it. I thought a pretty dubious call to rub out Jason Tamalolo's try swung the match. I thought it was a 12 points. Diabolical. 12-point swing too, because that gets disallowed and then the Sharks score in the very next set. Instead of the Cowboys being in the lead, the Sharks took a bigger lead, and I think that was the massive turning point in the match. So you didn't agree with it, because what the refs have said is that the player supporting Tamalolo, who, in my mind, he's just backing up for a pass in case Tamalolo needs to pass on for a try. Tamalolo gets hit by a defender, then the players ended up in front of Tamalolo, and because he was in front of him, he was deemed not a support player and rather somebody obstructing the defence. I thought it's absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, it's by the letter of the law that they've put in, you could see their point of view, but you've got to have a bit of leeway on it in that situation. I think Denham Kemp, on his review of the game, he said in that situation, if that player that he was apparently obstructing had hit him, it would have been a penalty for the Cowboys because you had a supporting player. It's like, I don't see it. If he had passed the ball to him, it would have been play on and a try. It's just, the most bizarre thing I've seen in a while. In saying that, I think it would have been a good boost for the Cowboys scoring that try, but I kind of felt the Sharks had the edge anyway throughout the contest. And you said you picked the Cowboys. Myself and Simon also picked the Cowboys, so we all got this one wrong. I kind of forgot that a lot of the Origin players wouldn't play. I kind of forgot that with the when I was doing the picking. But the Cowboys still, I thought, put in a decent effort here, being under strength, having that try taken away. I thought they played well, but they had a few issues with their defense, which I think let them down. I think that was essentially the biggest difference between the two sides. Jason Tomalolo is starting to return to his old form. And I think that the Cowboys are going to really need that in the finals. And for the Sharks, Jesse Ramien, I gave him praise last week. He had another strong game. So this appears to be his new normal. Which makes the Sharks a much more dangerous side. And their forward pack is firming up nicely. The experienced heads of Dale Finucan have added a lot of starch to this side. And Nicho Hynes directed the game well, and it felt like he was involved in everything, which was great. And I think if the Sharks can go to another level, it's going to be a cracking game against the Panthers this week. I don't know how confident I'd be if they went in how they played in this game. But, they take it up another lap, then, it'll be a real good game.
I think it will be, and it'll tell us a lot about where the Sharks are, that's for sure, because they've been looking great again. I think another team might need to step up to rival the Panthers, because the Melbourne Storm looking all sorts with their injuries, so... But, I think you're right, Brad. I think the Sharks did, despite the bad call, I think they were still pretty good value for their win there.
Yeah.
Move on to the Warriors game. Eels 28, Warriors 18, 5-3. Wonga Blake grabbing a double, Isaiah Papali'i, Clint Gutherson, and Mike Acevo grabbing the 5 tries for the Eels. It is painful to talk about, Paul. You're right. 3 tries for the Warriors, Marcelo Montoya, Ed Cossey, and Jack Murchie with 3 tries. Brad, I saw improvements from the Warriors. It's not the... we weren't as bad as what we've seen earlier this season from the Warriors. It's hard to gauge because the Eels have been sort of up and down and hard to read as well. So I don't know what it tells us about either team. But, I thought this was a game we could have won. But, not to be... As it's been the case a lot this year for us.
Paul just said lost but moved up the table. Yeah, I'll take a loss with a move up the table any day of the week. But I thought it was another loss from the Warriors that I wasn't overly disappointed with. I ended the game more positive than what I felt for a lot of the season. I thought they played well for the majority of the contest. It was just, there was a few moments where they let things slip, and that's what let the Eels take over.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The forwards were led well by Tohu Harris and Adam Fanua-Blake. They were both bending the line. The backs made the Eels' defense work. I thought Ekosi had a decent return after that shocker against Melbourne. And I was disappointed with Reece Walsh in what I thought was his worst outing with the for the Warriors. I don't know if that's because the tinted glasses have come off now that he's leaving, and I'm being a bit more objective about his performance, but it felt like he was on a different playbook to everyone else. He was kind of just doing his own thing at times. And we had that comment earlier about how Chanel appears to play better at fullback. We talked about it when Chanel played at fullback at the against Gamers Tigers. I think he's better defensively. He seems to be better at keeping the defensive line structured, and he knows how to get himself into attacking opportunities and running good lines like a fullback, where Reece seems to be a bit hit and miss with that. That's stuff that's all going to come in time. You know, he's a very young man, but yeah, I was just a bit more critical. Was like, if he did this and this, maybe it would have been a win. I don't know. But yeah, the defense was better, but there's still work to be done as a few of those Eels tries, especially that first one for Walker Blake, where he basically had no one in front of him when he went over. And yeah, Jacko said, as long as they put in a good effort and show improvement week to week, one can't moan too much. That's kind of what I'm looking at. You know, the season's over in terms of playing finals, but if you can see improvements each week and show they're building something and actually getting back to where we wanted them to be, you know, it's the best you can really get. But yeah, it was a few silly errors at the start of the second half really allowed the Eels to come back. But the Eels were good. They weren't as great as they could be. As you said, they're real hit and miss, but they were piling the pressure on the Warriors easily early on. And you felt it was only a matter of time before they finally went over, and they did. All but one of the Eels forwards ran for over 100 meters. Isaiah Papali'i had another great night out, scored a good try. And after giving him grief last week, full credit needs to go to Clint Gutherson, who scored a nice try, bouncing back from that monster hit from Marcelo Montoya that saw the fullback lose the ball and his lunch. I thought it was just a really good game. Those two quick tries from the Warriors at the end made the scoreline look a bit better. But it was an enjoyable game, despite the loss.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. Brad's put the calculator away for the year. He's written. Yeah, fair enough too. It's well and truly gone. But yeah, I felt like we were hanging in there pretty well. It was 10-6 at halftime. But yeah, just second half, Papali'i, Gutherson scored after 53 and 56 minutes, and then Sivo 10 minutes after, and yeah, that little lapse there, just, well, we couldn't hang with them.
No.
Anyway, Saturday, the Roosters 54 over Brad's Dragons 26, 9 tries to 4. Bear with me, folks. Victor Radley, Joey Manu, Connor Watson, Joey Manu again, Sam Walker, James Tedesco, Joseph Suali, Paul Momorowski, and James Tedesco again. For the Dragons, four tries, Ben Hunt, Zach Lomax, Matthew Fingai, and Cody Ramsey grabbing the four tries. This is a funny game, Brad. Dragons were leading 14-12 at halftime. I think it was 20-all after, well, not that long to go, and then the Roosters just piled it on after about the 50th minute mark.
It was around the 50th minute mark where it just piled on. But I don't really have much to say about this match. The Roosters dominated in that second half, scoring those seven tries, and that was the difference here. I've got Joey Manu and James Tedesco had a field day.
Yeah.
It looked like they were having just a training run. Victor Radley also had a massive day. He scored a try and ran for 213 metres. It was just a good performance from everyone for the Roosters, really. And I think this is the Roosters that you expected to see every week since you had them picked as your premiers. Mm. And then for the Dragons, they look good in the first half. Ben Hunt directed the side around well, nailed a great 40-20 and scored a try. They just weren't able to keep up with the pace of the Roosters and never left the sheds at halftime.
I like Joey Manu in the positions where he gets the ball in his hands a lot more. I know when he's playing centre, he's probably the best centre in the game or up there, but he's almost even better if you put him into a spine position where he's touching the ball a lot more. He can show a lot more of his tricks, and he showed a good one, but oh.
Great actor as well.
We will
talk about later on.
We will talk about it later, yeah. But yeah, dominant there from the Roosters in the end. Manly's Brad's other team, Manly, Seagulls 42 over the Knights 12, 7-2. For Manly, we had Kohler, Jason Saab with a double, Olakuatu, Andrew Davey, Christian Tuipulotu, and Lachlan Croker grabbing the tries. For the Knights, Adam Kloon and Kalen Ponga. What do you got on this one, Brad? It's just one-way traffic, really, wasn't it?
Short one, really. Manly running away with a second half, almost a carbon copy of the match we just talked about. DCE backed up his origin form with a big night, setting up three tries. Himoli Olakuatu led the pack well. He made a highlight reel run down the sidelines and ended his night with seven tackle breaks. Just a good performance from Manly and watching the inconsistent season. So a bit like you with the Roosters, this is the Manly I expected when I picked the Knights my premiers.
Yeah.
The Knights, they lost three players to injury during the match, with Tyson Frizzell and Dom Young being the biggest losses. And then the sin-binning of Milford didn't help them either. But I thought Kalen Ponga was probably the best on the park for Newcastle. But ultimately, they missed 54 tackles and made seven errors. And when you do that, you're not putting yourself in the driver's seat to win, which is what we saw. It was probably the Knights playing how you expected them to play when you picked Wooden Spoon.
Pretty much. I'm hearing now maybe that Tommy Trbojevic may be looking for a return around finals time. Should Manly cement a place in the eight, do you think there's a chance?
If there's a chance for them to play finals footy, then you got to go with it. But I think they've got to focus on making the eight first properly.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But you think if they do cement it, do you think he gives them enough of a boost to threaten?
Not to threaten. I don't think so. I think this, if you put him back in the side, they're going to be competitive, but I wouldn't be confident if they went up against Penrith, the Sharks or the Cowboys right now. I'm not going to put Melbourne in that. I don't want to write them off, but I it feels weird saying they can beat people right now because that's just not what they're doing. But yeah, Manly are in the eight right now. If they can stay in there and he comes back, you got to play him.
Yeah, 100%. Even though Ruben Garrick's actually going really well at fullback.
Yeah.
Garrick will just slot back out to a wing.
Out to wing, yep.
Queensland Derby was next. The Broncos getting up over the Titans 16-12. 3-2 for the Broncos. Deluise Hoyta, Jordan Pereira, and Adam Reynolds grabbing the three tries. For the Titans, Tanner Boyd and Jermaine Joel
Jem and Jolliffe.
Yeah, there you go. This one was closer than I thought it might be, Brad. Obviously, the Broncos have some players backing up from Origin and some injured, like Salmon Cobbo. But, yeah, I think the Titans played a bit better than they have been recently.
Yeah, after two blowouts, it was nice to see we finally got a tight tussle. And, to be honest, it was a surprise that this was the game that was going to be tight. The Broncos had plenty of chances in the first half, but the Titans' goal line defense was holding them out, only letting them in the final minute of the first half, which I'm sure would have been real disappointing for the Titans. Adam Reynolds, in this game, he became the eighth player since 1908 to go past 2,000 points in the NRL. So well done on him there. Tessie New had another blockbuster night at fullback. He ran for 241 metres, possibly showing the Broncos that they don't need to replace him with Reece Walsh next year. Soon, he seems to have gone up another level with the moment they announced Walsh was coming back. So it's good to see competition there, I guess. Zach Hosking was impressive. He ran for 129 metres and had a try disallowed. And he was actually working on a building site 3 weeks ago. So it's a great rags to riches type story for him. Hopefully that continues when he gets more opportunities. I've got on here Broncos will be happy with the win, but will be concerned with their defense as they missed 57 tackles in this, which is, I don't even think the Warriors have missed that many. So it's great to miss that many and win, but you would look at it and go, if we miss those against a top eight side, we don't win this game. So, disappointing on that aspect, but great they got the 2 points. Titans, they showed heart, which is something we haven't seen much of this season. Big Tino ran for 146 metres in a limited stint. They didn't play him off the – they played him off the bench due to Origin. He didn't get on to, I think, like the 57th minute. So that's a great effort to work in that short stint of time. AJ Brimson was a shining light. At fullback, he ran for 250 metres. But the Titans, their biggest issue and potentially the reason they lost this was the errors. They made 12 in total in this game and just kept letting the Broncos off the hook. And you can't do that against any team in the NRL.
I think it was tighter than I thought. But the Broncos, they were missing a fair few people still. So I think it shows the quality of a team if you're missing a few of your cattle and still find a way to win. You're right. I was impressed with Tessie New. It seems whoever they're putting the fullback this year position has done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Even when they had Tamati Martin deputizing there, now Tessie New's come back in like the past two games since he's been back, he's been in electric form. So yeah. Don't know what happens with him now with Reece Walsh going to the Broncos next year. I mean, that'll phase him out of first grade, surely. So whether he looks elsewhere, not too sure, but Dolphins maybe. The next game was the Tigers versus the Panthers. The Panthers scraping past the Tigers 18-16, 3 tries apiece for the Panthers, Isaac Tango, Viliami Kikau, and James Fisher-Harris. For the Tigers, Junior Tupo, Adam Dewey, and Big Kenny Mamalo. It was very tight. The Panthers rested all their Origin players, though, Brad, so just shows their depth to go out there and still get the job done with a second-string side.
Yeah, and this win meant that they went through the rep period undefeated, which is not something that happened last year. You know, that was where they had their dip in form when all the players were out playing Origin. So good to see that they've learned from that and backed up. Their forwards really went up a level, I thought. James Fisher-Harris celebrated his 150th match in style, his usual dominant display and a match-winning try. Kakao was causing plenty of issues for the Tigers and scored a nice try as well.
He's fantastic.
Sean O'Sullivan had another good outing and his role was clear. He's understudy. I'm still not sure if he has what it takes to be the starting half week in, week out, but we may get to see if I'm wrong with that next year at the Dolphins. Overall, a good performance from the Panthers with all the players they had gone. Tigers, to their credit, I think they're starting to regain their heart a bit. they were throwing all they could at the Penrith side. Adam Dewey looked dangerous in the halves. I'm still not sold on Jackson Hastings playing at lock, but he appears to be staying there for the foreseeable future, so we'll see what happens. The Tigers did have two tries taken away, which I thought, although that it was tough to see that happen, I think they were the right calls. Disappointing to lose to an understrength Panthers side. But I just like seeing the Tigers making their opposition really work for a win. And I hope they can keep doing that for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I wonder if it wasn't Brett Morley at the helm in the interim like he is now. Say if it was Tim Sheens, I don't think you'd see a Jackson Hastings at 13. And although he did a pretty admirable job, you know, I think you want to try and retain him at the Tigers and make your halves him and Adam Dewey. No disrespect to Luke Brooks. But I think that's got to be your halves pairing, really. And going forward, it's got to be those guys. But, yeah, that's just my thoughts. Brad's more the playmaker.
Stay in your lane, please.
Yeah, I'll stay in my lane. The next game I tipped. The Raiders 20 over the Storm 16. Three tries apiece. Sebastian Chris, James Schiller with a double. One of those spectacular try. Three tries for the Storm as well. Nick Meaney, Jerome Hughes and Harry Grant. We had the sin binning of Jordan Rapana. He had another grubby day in the office, as he likes to do. And the injury of Ryan Pippenhausen banging up his knee, going knee to knee against Jack Whiten, which was a big blow. But yeah, the Raiders actually have a pretty good record over Melbourne. In Melbourne,
It's their fifth win at Amy Park in a row.
That's why I tipped them, mate.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that when I did it. I'm disappointed that Simon didn't pick his team here, but, you know, it is what it is. As someone who hasn't picked the Warriors in a long time, I can't really throw stones. But, yeah, Storm on a three-game losing streak. It's something I never would imagine I would say on this show.
I'm loving it.
I think they said it was the first time they've lost three in a row since 2015.
Yeah.
It was also the first game since round 9 that we saw the full Storm spine play together, just not for long as Pat went off, as you said. Munster, I thought, looked good in his first match back since round 15. He ran for 180 metres and was creating opportunities for his side. They just didn't look like they're on the same page. As I said last week, it feels like we're watching Warriors games when we're watching the Storm right now. They just can't finish their opportunities. They were making silly errors, making poor defensive choices, just so Storm-like is really the only note I've got here. And with a game against the Rabbitohs coming up, they've got a lot of work to do if they want to end this losing streak. I'd rather them lose that losing streak this week, to be honest, rather than having a four-game losing streak and going to the play at Mount Smart against the Warriors. I don't want that pressure on the Warriors. But, yeah, the Raiders made too many errors as well. But they've had that fine run of form at Melbourne, as we just mentioned. Joseph Tapani, he was solid in the middle, ran for 171 metres, and continued to stake his claim as one of the best props in the NRL. James Schiller had a great night out. He scored the first two tries of his career, including a highlight reel try for a second, where he did the old chip and chase and the acrobats in the corner. Xavier Savage was great at fullback for them as well. Had a few good defensive moments, which kept the side on the winning side here, including his try-saving effort against Jerome Hughes. Much needed win for the Raiders as they continue to try and claw their way into the top eight, and it's going to make them a very tough opponent for the Warriors this week. But yeah, that's all I really had.
Could we see a world where the Storm drop a game against the Rabbitohs and possibly the Warriors with all these spine players out? How have they ever lost five in a row? When would that?
Oh, don't ask me stat questions like that. I don't know.
That wouldn't happen very often in Melbourne. That's for sure. No. Don't worry about it, Brad. We'll move on to the next game.
Hey, I'm still looking.
I'm pretty sure it's never happened. I will move on. The Bulldogs versus the Rabbitohs on Sunday. The Rabbitohs getting up 36-28. 7-5 for the Rabbitohs. Lachlan Ilias, Cody Walker, Alex Johnston grabbing a hat trick. He's amazing. Latrell Mitchell and Tavita Totola. And 5 tries for the Bulldogs. Braden Burns, Declan Casey, Joe Stimson, Jake Averillo, and Paul Vaughan. I thought this was a very entertaining game, Brad. Thought the Bulldogs were really good value. Took a bit of a beast mode moment from Latrell Mitchell to set them back on their on the tracks and to get the win here over the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and Melbourne Storm, their biggest consecutive losses was 6 in 2002 between round 7 and round 13. So a very long time ago, 20 years ago.
That's when we were good.
Yeah. but yeah, this back to the Bulldogs, another great match. Alex Johnston scored his 11th hat trick of his career. Latrell Mitchell's superb return from injury has been amazing. He was standing head and shoulders above everyone else in this game. His try was a great demonstration of how dangerous he is with the ball in hand. The Rabbits forwards gave them a good edge. Big honours have to go to prop Tavita Totola. He ran for 234 metres. They still made too many errors, as I keep complaining about, about the Rabbitohs. But if they play like they did here and continue this form, they could be premiership threats. I said I'm not sold on them yet. I still want more games. I want another one. I want to see how they go against the Storm this week. But yeah, the Bulldogs, I thought, played well too. They also made too many errors. It was the theme of the day. But they stayed in the hunt for the first 70 minutes of this match. Paul Vaughan really took it out of the Rabbits' defensive line. Yeah, I thought it was a real even matchup. Jake Averillo continues to impress me at fullback. And the loss of Josh Ado-Carr was concerning, but thankfully for Bulldogs fans, it was nothing major. Matt Burton had a tough night out, struggling to keep Latrell contained. And overall, it was a coulda woulda game for the Bulldogs. I think if they were like, if we did this and that, we might have got this. But they'll learn from it, and I think they are going to be a top 8 threat next season.
Yeah, and I think where they've come from, they can't be too disappointed with that. They've come a long way this year, especially since the departure of Trent Barrett, no disrespect, but they look a different side. But the same can be said for the Rabbitohs since Latrell's has returned.
Yeah,
it's just he just makes such a massive difference. And you see someone like Cody Walker, who you know is a great player, but you take Adam Reynolds and Latrell Mitchell off him and he seems to go into a shell, whereas you give him someone like Latrell Mitchell back and he grows another arm and leg almost, is the confidence he gets from playing with somebody like that. So, yeah, I think if Latrell stays fit and healthy, you know, you wouldn't want to come up against him in the finals, put it that way.
Yeah.
But that was the round.
All right. Thank you for that. So before we go into the tipping, we will go to the ladder. Go to the ladder first, Paul. There we go. So not too many changes, really. There was only a couple. Panthers stay at number one. Cowboys are still second. Sharks have gone up to third. Storm have gone down to fourth. Broncos stay the same at fifth. Eels stay the same at sixth. Rabbitohs and Seagulls stay the same at seventh and eighth. Roosters have gone up to ninth. Raiders have gone up to 10th. Dragons have gone down to 11th. Still need a few more to go down, please. Warriors have gone up to 12th. Knights down to 13th. And then the bottom three are all in the same position. Bulldogs, Titans, and Tigers. And Paul's asked, are 11th up still a shout winning of top 8
footy? Yeah.
I would say so. Yeah.
You got there any point a win behind?
Dragons are 11th, though, so I don't really want to say they have a shot.
Dragons points differential will hurt them if, you know, I think maybe 10 up. If Dragons got to keep winning, but if they end up level 8th, their points differential's going to hurt them.
Definitely. And then going on to our tips, Paul, we all got the same amount, 6 out of 8. We both got 2 games wrong. Looking back at it, we all got the Cowboys game wrong. Richie got the Warriors-Eels game wrong. And then Simon and myself got the Storm Raiders game wrong. So I am still leading 94 out of 136. Richie's 4 behind on 90 out of 136. And then Simon's 3 behind Richie at 87 out of 136. So did we have any questions from the group, Paul, before we move on to our ones?
Get myself on screen. Yeah, we have got one, and it was around your thoughts on the Tigers strip. So I thought I'd do a quick, I've got a quick quick screen grab for you. What are your thoughts on this year's Tigers strips? Are you fans of it, or do you think it's a bit naff?
It's all right. It's not a Warriors jersey.
No, it's I don't mind it. I actually had a conversation.
Which one of the jerseys, that by the way? Which one of the 25 that come out this year?
All of them. They're all gorgeous.
That one's the best one. I was having this conversation with my grandmother actually this week because she said the Castleford Tigers, that the West Tigers stole their colours, and I explained to her that they're the Tigers. Both teams are called the Tigers, and Tigers are black and orange. So, you know, you can't go that far. There's a little bit of limitations. I don't mind it, really. And, yeah, and like Simon said, both colours represent the traditions of the Tigers and the Magpies. So
yeah,
I think it fits well since they are a combined club. And, yeah, as long as they don't steal any Warriors jerseys, they'll be fine.
Cool. And that's that's it from the first questions from the live chat, boys.
That's it. Okay. Do you want to say your question first or me, Richie?
Yeah, I'll run with mine, eh? So watching a bit of NRL 360 during the week, and Paul Kent's comments regarding Jerome Luai not being passionate about his New South Wales selection. And he gives a reasoning. He compared him to Tommy Dearden of Queensland. Tommy Dearden gets a knock on his door from Billy Slater, says you're going to be picked for Queensland. He tears up, says I won't let the state down. And then Jerome Luai, on the other hand, can't wait to play for Samoa. And that was Paul Kent's quote. So what do you think, mate? Do you think he has a point?
I understand what he's saying, and I kind of see his point. I have no issues with the wanting to play for Samoa. I think it was just during the Origin period, he comes out and says he's looking forward to playing for Samoa at the World Cup, when people would want him to be focused on State of Origin. But I don't have the same affinity with State of Origin that they do over there. I could really care less if they want to play for New South Wales or not. I feel like, yeah, it is a thing where the Queensland guys do seem to be, I feel they seem more passionate about representing Queensland. But the players that you pick for New South Wales generally don't let you down, so I don't see the issue. And the Tommy Dearden situation, if Tommy Dearden was eligible for a Tier 2 or Tier 3 nation, do you think he would say, no, I'm not going to play at the World Cup? You know he's not going to the World Cup for Australia. So,
And he's a young man on Origin debut.
Yeah. But, yeah, I generally think Queensland have more passion. In it, but that's always been, I think that's always been the case. You go back to all those highlight reels and you got a whole lot of inbred Queenslanders coming down the whole, you know, screaming Queenslander, and that they just get very fired up for it. But yeah, I don't think it affects, you know, the performances on the field. So yeah, I'm doing a Richie and sitting on the fence on this one.
Yeah.
I can kind of see his point, but I don't agree 100%.
I think it just comes across a little salty. I mean, he wasn't saying this.
He wasn't saying it when they won.
Yeah, exactly. If New South Wales won the series, he wouldn't have said that at all. And no. When New South Wales had a record breaking win last year. No, you know, doesn't say anything about his lack of passion at all. So, yeah, the timing of it just comes across a bit sour grapes.
Yeah, and I know you put it in your question, but you put it, didn't say it out loud. You just said even though Josh Papali'i plays for Queensland and may play for Samoa. So, yeah, Queensland have some that are in the same boat. So, yeah, I think it's more sour grapes, like you said. So,
nice.
And then my question for you, there's been a lot of noise surrounding Joey Manu's fake knee injury that led to a Roosters try. What is your take on the situation? Uncalled for or fair play?
That's a funny situation. I've never seen it before, but back in Karate Kid, Cobra Kai's John Kreese once said, "No mercy." That's a no mercy moment, mate. It was a great wee. He sold it real well, and then boom, gone. But if you're a Dragon, if I were a Dragons fan, I'd be pretty peeved, to be fair. But you know what? He did limp off after the try, so I think it's not like he was 100%. He kind of pulled up with a bit of pain, and then there was a gap, and he mustered up enough energy to burst through it and set up a try, and then waddled off the field. So,
yeah, I think in the fairness of sportsmanship, it's not a good look. But then, if I was playing and I saw a player pull up limp like that, and the ref didn't blow the whistle, I'm still tackling him. I don't care. So. The other way, if I saw Joey Manu was limping, I would have gone straight for the leg. You know, how often are you going to be able to get an easy tackle on a guy like him? So take it, play the whistle. You know, if it's, you know, one of those big serious injuries where you know they're hurt, like it's usually when you've got them to the ground and they don't get up. So in that situation, I would have just clipped them. And then, you know, if you're hurt or not, you're going to make sure they're hurt afterwards. So...
just clipped him.
Just clipped him.
Yeah. Take him out entirely. Not the only, there's no clipping going on here, is there? It's going straight through and cut him in two.
Hit them in the back of the knee, and he will never pretend he's got a sore knee again. That's why, Simon, we don't have a show for Sky. Brad is bringing us down with his thug ways. Me and Paul Kent would have a great show together. So we're both dinosaurs living in the old days. But, I don't think it was that big a deal, really. You know, the Roosters were already well on the way to a cricket score anyway.
I thought it was funny more than anything.
Yeah, and like you said, after they scored, it did look like he was limping. I think someone said that he had cramp.
Yeah.
And not a knee injury, which could have been the case as well. He had done a lot of running that day. But, yeah. So that was the questions. Cheers for that. We may as well go in. We are going long. There is something in Super League I want to bring up, so we will be bringing it up. But we'll go into round 19 and our picks. Simon gave the picks earlier on, which I scribbled down, and all I need is yours. So, Paul, if you could bring up the draw. He's trying to find it.
I thought I'd bring up something else since you were called Hitman Brad. I thought we should bring up an old.
What have you?
Come on, show, damn you! Yeah, if we get you in that, Brad.
That Brad will love that.
Real Men Wear Pink. Bret Hart did like attacking the back of the knee as well. He would agree with me on the Joey Manu tactic. Do you have the draw now?
Draw? Why? What are you doing that for? Jeez. I don't know.
You're giving us crap about a two-hour show, and now you're delaying us, honestly.
Hey, I've got no life. I'm happy to be here all night.
There we go. So first game up on Thursday is Eels-Broncos. Simon and myself have both picked the Broncos. Who have you picked?
I'll go Eels then.
You're just picking on the fly now. Okay, first game on Friday, we have Dragons Seagulls. We have both picked Seagulls.
Yeah, Seagulls.
Seagulls. Next up, we have the Knights versus Roosters. We have both picked the Roosters.
Roosters.
Roosters. Next up is the Raiders Warriors. We have both picked the Raiders.
Oh, I'd love to pick the Warriors, but no, not in Canberra.
Not Raiders. In Canberra. That was, I would have, if it was Mount Smart, I would have picked the Warriors in this one, yeah. I think. Especially our run of form against them as of late. Panthers Sharks, we've both picked the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers.
Panthers. This one was hard. Rabbitohs Storm. Simon has gone with the Rabbitohs. I went with Rabbitohs and then twinked it out and put Storm. So I've gone with Storm.
Oh, then I'm going to go Rabbitohs.
You're going to go Rabbitohs. I think the Rabbitohs are looking good, but I just can't think I can sit on the show and say the Storm are on a 4-game losing streak. So be prepared to. It's a weird logic for picking, but there I go. First game on Sunday, we have Bulldogs Titans. We have both picked the Bulldogs.
Doggies.
And then the last game of the round, Cowboys Tigers. We've both picked Cowboys.
Yeah, got to be Cowboys.
Cowboys. All right. So looking at it, the only games we've got different is the Eels Broncos game first, then the Storm Rabbitohs. So just like last week, another one with two. So hopefully I'm on the right side of that. So before we sign off, I wanted to do some Super League, mainly because there was some big scores and some records broken. So Bevan French.
Let me just check for a second. Wouldn't by any chance that Wigan might have won? Is that why you want to talk about it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. So, biased. Biased as all hell. With
They won by a lot.
Bevan French set a new record for try scoring. He beat Leslie Vanicolo's record and had when he scored 7 tries for Wigan in their win over Hull FC. St. Helens are still first on the ladder, but Wigan are second. Wigan at second, have put some space between them and Huddersfield, who are third, with Catalans dropping to fourth after a few poor weeks. Toulouse are now off the bottom of the ladder, with Wakefield Trinity now last due to points differential. So Toulouse, you know, if they can keep going the way they're going, I know Simon talked about it. Yeah, so Simon's just put that comment in. Toulouse no longer in relegation zone right now. They need to win a couple more games, and Wakefield need to lose all their games. St. Helens defeated Huddersfield 25-0. Wigan just scraped through against Hull FC, winning 60-0. Castleford defeated Warrington 35-22. Toulouse defeated Leeds 20-6. Hull KR defeated Wakefield 15-10. And Salford defeated Catalans 32-6. Which leads us, we've got some intriguing games coming up. So round 20, you got Leeds versus Wigan, Warrington versus Hull KR, Hull FC versus Castleford, Catalans versus Huddersfield, Toulouse versus Salford, and Wakefield versus St. Helens. So you can tick that game for Wakefield losing. They should lose against St. Helens. Salford will be tough for Toulouse, though. But as long as they don't lose by lots, Simon's just said he had a look at the two team schedule, and Toulouse do have the better schedule. So it could be a case. I never want to see a team get relegated, but I don't like when a team just promoted gets relegated the very next year. So I hope that they stick around. That's all I had there. Anything else you want to add, Richie, before we sign off?
Not really, mate. Congrats to Bevan French. Thanks to everyone for chatting with us. It's been a great chat as always. Thank you, Paul.
For your help in the back, yeah.
Great fun as always.
Thanks to the ladies in the kitchen for the spread.
Full credit to the boys.
Exactly. Ladies, thank you to the ref. We never thank the ref. never in my life will I thank a referee. And Simon just said the second place team in the near second division is from the same geographical region as Wakefield. They could balance out the competition. That's true. That's a good point. See, Simon's our Super League guru. So hopefully you can give us some more news for next week as well. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in and joining us tonight on the Standoff with Brad and Richie for your weekly update on rugby league. Tune in our show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers again, Richie and Paul, for joining me tonight, and good night, everyone. Man.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.